You know.
Hi, I'm Rick, recovered alcoholic. You know, I'm so happy that the people that came before me warmed it up and they could say stuff that I didn't have to say. I take notes, and normally I really don't need to look at the notes, but I've always got the notes with me, and I find out that you guys have notes too, and they're all in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, so everything that was mentioned, I was taking notes. Wait a minute, there was 84, and I wake up in the morning, I do this or that. And I'm just going to talk, okay? My sponsor said, please, you've been asked to speak, but not with you. Because remember what we wrote at the front of the book? This is an ego-deflating program. Let's just talk, because recovery begins when one alcoholic talks to another. And I get so nervous up here, so can we just talk today? Can I just talk to you? And so obviously you know that the program works, because I took my notes and I came up here with a pink covered big book. When I came in, there would be no pink big book under my arm for many years, so that's working. So I took some notes because I heard some things right off the bat. And look, I took the notes on a bar napkin. Some things just never change. Anybody else done that? Okay, there's two hands. Okay, maybe I'm in the right place or wrong. And then there's Kathy. God bless her and her service work. She does her housekeeping, and one of the things notes I took, it says, please stay off the grass. This is a good place to announce that, isn't it? I mean, who would have thunk that we could come to an AA meeting and we'd have to stay off grass? Huh. I don't know. I know I'm going to finish up with a couple other promises. I just realized I've been doing this a little while and some things never change. And one thing's changed, and I already know this. I'm here to talk about promises, and I've never, ever done this before. But here's a promise: that today you will get your money's worth. I promise that, because I've already heard three great speakers, right? And the other promise, I guarantee you this is true. You don't get your money back, okay? Okay, that's a promise. You know, my sobriety date is September 20th, 1993. And I was 42 years old with no friends, no family, no future, and no God. Okay? But I was pretty hip, slick, and cool, though. I really was. I got up that morning and I realized that I had no friends, no family, no future, and I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the alcohol and drugs quit working, and I wasn't working either, and I needed some money. So here's how the promises have been in my life since I was a kid, and I just when they asked me to talk, I didn't realize this, so I really did have to take some notes, because I've never shared this stuff with you before, and to realize that our whole recovery has been based on a promise. The one that jumps off the top that God couldn't would if he were sought, that's one. But I thought I'd review some of the promises that I had as a kid. It's a promise, if you're good and you behave, we're going to go to Disney World. If you're good and behave, Santa's going to bring you something. If you get a new bat, you're going to hit more home runs. That's a promise, right? So that. And then there was the adult. There was the adult promises that said, well, if I got a new car, I would get a girlfriend. A hot girlfriend. And then if I got a better job, I'd make more money and get a hot girlfriend. And then if I made more money, I could get a house, and guess what I got? Hot girlfriend. Yeah, those promises came true. You know what? I got sidetracked here, because I just love the promises. That's all I've been thinking about for the last few days. And I thought I'd ask you, because since it's just me talking with you, and kind of like we're kind of like friends. I mean, we are kind of like family. We're all related by blood alcohol content. Can I get an amen? Whatever. So let me ask you this. How many people out there have worked the ninth step and the ninth step promises have come true? Would you mind just holding your hands up and look around? Because if you haven't raised your hand because the promises haven't come true in your life, you may want to talk to those people with their hands up. Because the people with their hands up, folks, I love that. She's still got her hand up. I just love it. The people with their hands up have recovered from alcoholism. The ninth step is where you recover from alcoholism. By the way, that's the first promise I found in the big book. Front page, how 100 men and women have recovered from alcoholism. So if you're not happy, joyous, and free, and you don't know a new freedom and new happiness, it's not God's fault. And there's people that talked about it. What I found out is all those promises that I had from a kid, they always materialized if I worked for them. And that's why I wanted to tie in that ninth step, because anything I've got to say today, it's either in this book or somebody shared it with me from this book. And early sobriety, September, Christmas, with no friends, no family, the guy gave me a framed edition of the promises, and he loved me, I could tell, after 90 days. And he said, you know what the most important three words are on that? I realized when you're new, you start to say, I don't know. Because when you come in, you know everything, right? He said, if we work for them, work for them. And I got thinking, all those promises a kid worked, because I worked for him. So I wanted to share with you how I got to AA. I got to AA on a promise. The promise was I needed 20 bucks. And I had one guy that really I didn't think knew how bad I was. And I called Bill up and I said, I made up some lame ass excuse. I need 20 bucks. And he goes, sure, no problem. He said, I'll meet you tonight. I would like to go to an AA meeting. Would you come there and I'll give you the 20 bucks? I don't know about the rest of you. I'm not proud of this, but I've done a lot worse things for 20 bucks. And then go to an AA meeting, and this is embarrassing. I really didn't know at 42 years old what an AA meeting was. Why in the hell would you know what an AA meeting is when all your friends are drunk and drug addicts, right? So that was the first promise. I got to the AA meeting on a promise. But when I walked in, they had a greeter, and I really would like to encourage more groups to have that greeter, because that's what, when I actually came to realize, anything I hope that you hear me say will always be with the words, my experience is. But my experience is, I didn't really give a damn how much time they had or how much they knew about the big book until I knew how much they cared. So I don't care whether you got 30 days. Recovery begins with one alcoholic talking to another. That's my experience. And the first guy, he's got a tie on, he's old, and he says, are you new? That's a biggie for me. Everybody I met at that meeting, are you new? I'm 42 years old. I'm beat to hell. And everybody, are you new? No, I feel like old and shit. Older than dirt. But he says, are you new? I said, what do you say when you got a belly full of sauce and that other dry goods going around in your head? Well, you say what any people pleaser would say, yes. And he said, great, go on in. And he said, just remember, you never have to feel this way again. How would you know, man? You never had a stem in your mouth. You never woke up on the park bench. You've never been there. I already copped a resentment going into an AA meeting. And then I walked over to a young guy, or I walked over there, and a young guy came up to me, and he said, "Are you new?" "Yep." And he said, "Let's go out and have a cigarette." Okay. I knew he cared, because I didn't have any money for cigarettes. And he said, because they're ready to start the meeting, he said, "Just remember, you never have to be alone again." And I don't know, you don't survive in this world by crying, unless you put your head down. How'd that go again? Put your head down and you wink a lot. You don't cry. Thank God it was dark out there. Tears start flowing out of my, I hadn't cried in years. I'm not going to show some guy what it was like to cry. And I sat down, and I usually never remember. Well, I got a good memory, but it's short, and it's getting shorter the older I get. But I heard people laughing. I heard people laughing. And let me see these notes here. And that's what I took away from it. I know what it was. There was a promise that I heard. And I don't know how I heard this, because I was had been using for a long time. And it said, if you don't pick up the first drink, you can't get drunk. And they said, would anybody like to get a white chip? And I'd like to throw that out as a sidebar. You know, if we are really important for the newcomer, remember, and the newcomer is the most important, we might want to explain what a white chip is. Because I don't want no stinking white chip. How about some cash? You know, white chip. And so, you know, being a good people pleaser, people were pushing at my back. I don't know why. So I got this chip. It's called a 24-hour day chip, right? I call it my promise chip. I call it my promise chip. If I don't pick up the first drink one day at a time, I can't get drunk. Ten years ago, I quit grabbing medallions, and I start picking up white chips, and I pick up 24-hour-a-day chip, because if you're around long enough, you're going to run across people that picked up after 10, 20, 30, and 40 years, because they had it figured out, and they can pull out their coin and say, "Ha, I got 38, I got 40 years." And I was just amazed, how could you pick up after all that time? And you ask them, what happened? They forgot that God could and would if he were sought. There's a story in the book called Fred the Car Salesman, right? That's one of my favorite stories. And when he went out, they said the reason he went out is because he failed to enlarge his spiritual life through work with others. And I started to hear people that had had a lot of time, they weren't sponsoring anybody, quit going to some meetings. And I want to realize that I'm sober just for today. God has never given me more than I could handle. And I've gone through two marriages, bankruptcy, foreclosure, and didn't pick up. But not because Rick didn't pick up, but because God had my back. Let me see. I really hooked on that, got hooked on that promise that said, I'm not cured of alcoholism. What I really have is a daily, what is it? Reprieve, what? Contingent on the maintenance. That was the word. That was the word, is maintenance. And that's a promise, because everyone that had time, they had time for two reasons. They were old timers because they didn't die. and they didn't pick up. It's pretty simple. Well, somebody meant it. I don't know. I don't think AA is that easy, because we threw out a lifelong conceptions, but it is a pretty simple program. And I'm just going to jump around, because I heard KISS really early on in the meeting. So I wanted to make sure you understood that I wanted to speak about KISS today. K-I-S-S. That stands for Keep It Simple Spiritually. Okay? Keep it spiritually. And then I would like some of the old timers that actually worked the program, not just had 30 years, or had 1 year 30 times or 30 days. I don't know how to say that. I think you know what I mean, right? They'd actually worked the program. Somebody said, and I was buying into every old timer that I heard, they go, well, the spiritual part of the program. And then thank God some old timer got me. He said, Rick, it's all spiritual. It literally is all spiritual. So anything we say, I hope I'm talking with you tonight, let you know that it's spiritual, because this alcoholic addict can't come up with these ideas by himself. That you guys hooked me at the start by not telling me what a piece of crap I was. You said, ask me questions. Hey, Rick, how's your way working? How's your way working? And you know what? If it's working, keep doing it. Today, every day, because we're here to talk about 10, 11, and 12, that is the inventory. I can't maintain my car. I can't maintain my body until I know what's wrong with it. You go to the doctor, he says, well, let me ask you some questions. Does this hurt? Does that? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? How's your way working, Rick? And when you're talking about this 10th step, folks, 84, 85, and 86, I only have so much time. I would just love to go through 84, 85, and 86. It changed my life. Mm-hmm. The main thing out of that, and you can read just as well as I can, but my experience is from that, I love that promise. It's my favorite, because this means so much to me. Learn how to live sober one day at a time, is I've ceased fighting anyone or anything. What a promise that is. What a promise that is. The short version on how to do that for me is, you trust God, you clean house, and you help others. Trust God, that'd be the 11th step. You clean your own house, okay? Jimmy talked some good inventory there. Clean house, 11, and 12, and help others. And that's what I kind of wanted to go over. The 11th step, it's also changed my life. And when they talked about half measures availed us nothing, I saw everybody raise their hand, so you're well aware of it. I want to go out, I don't want to ever preach, but I think the 9th step is the most half-measured step that's in our program today. Because when we first come in, I get it. We all talk about prayer, pray, 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 pray. Okay? But I can't remember in 20-some years, 28 years, the last time there was a meeting on meditation and how do you meditate. I finally got the idea, because I use the same excuse that I hear at meetings. I can't meditate. I can't stop the squirrel cage. My wife says, meditating with you, Rick, is like meditating with a monkey. Okay? But guess what? Thank God, my experience is people came up to me that I admired and respected, and they said meditation is some of the most important part of their daily routine to quiet the mind. And if I got this visualization, I need visualization, because this words don't always sink in. So if prayer is talking to God, they said meditation was listening. So I watched this guy stand up in a meeting, and he goes, so here you are, here he was praying, God, I need this, God, I need this. And he was going on. And the next, he took a breath, and the next thing he heard was, shut up! I'm trying to talk to you! God. That's God. He's trying to get my attention. That still small voice. When do I listen? When do I listen to what I'm praying for? And Jimmy alluded to it. The great story was, I sent you two rowboats and a helicopter. You weren't listening and you weren't aware. They will always materialize if we work for them. So 11th step is no different than the rest of the step. It's called practice. And today, you can Google anything. When you Google meditation, there's hundreds and hundreds of meditations that you can learn. But for the most part, the one that's taught the most right now in 2022 is breathing. Just count your breaths, because you can't have two thoughts at the same time. And if you're, just try this for 30 seconds, if you don't mind. Inhale to five. Exhale, five. In the big book, it says this about meditation. It says, we relax and take it easy, okay? And here's a little trick that we learned. When the squirrel cage starts, or you say, oh, I got to pick up my kid, I got to do this at work, say these words, thinking, thinking. All of a sudden, picking up the kid went right back to the word thinking, and then go back into counting. Also, I'd like to do a shameless plug, because in the 12 and 12, which I think is a great book, it says in the 11th step, it says some of us go in for an annual housekeeping, a retreat. So I've been involved with a retreat for 27 years. It's at St. Leo's. It's called thequestretreat.com. Check it out. It's at Dade City. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's been around for 50 years. So something's going right. So we've got just a short time to talk about step 12. And that's the part, the promise in step 12 is faith without works is dead. So you can pray your butt off all you want. And I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting all those promises. And my sponsors pointed out, well, what are you doing for your sobriety today? If you have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, it's in the back of the book. It's called the Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, and it's all about changing. And it's also in there, it says, about changing. I'm going to let that one go. It says, contempt prior to investigation will keep Rick in everlasting ignorance. And I used to sit here like this and go, yeah, well, that works for you, but it'll never work for me. And I had a change, and be H-O-W, honest, open mind, and willingness. Nothing ensures, here's the promise, nothing ensures immunity from a drink as intense work with another alcoholic. I don't know what intense work means for you, but just sitting in a meeting for me is not enough. It's just not. And the people that just sit in a meeting, I find them going in and out a lot more. Because half measures availed us nothing. I'd like to close. God, I'd like to continue. I'd like to continue. But this is what I found. People have alluded to it all day. that my version of it is faith, fear, and faith can't live in the same house together. And there's some people that have fear-based sobriety. And there's some, and when I was new, don't forget your last drink. Well, duh. I kept saying that to the judge many times when he said, if I see you back here, you're going to 4 years in prison. Because that's what my option was. He gave me a promise. If I see you here jaywalking, you're back in prison for 4 years. I forgot where I was going. But I can talk, can't I? And I can say that and feel okay about that today. And so I want to let you know that the line in there that scared me, it took me a while to understand. And guess what? I hope you hit a sponsor like mine that says, Rick, the problem is centered in your mind, so quit trying to analyze this and psychobabble out of a treatment center. Just utilize the steps. You don't change and work the steps. You work the steps and you change. Okay? And so, I want to close, if you'll play along with me, because you said you'd love me till we loved ourselves. I love myself, so that means you're going to play along, I hope. You know, we've got a theme song. AA's got a theme song for promises, okay? And here it is. And I'm going to ask you to help me sing this a little bit. Okay, here's the promises. It goes like this. The song is Row, Row, Row Your Boat, okay? And here's when it says row, row, row your boat, that's some action. Those are the steps. And if they're involved with maintenance, that would be 10, 11, and 12. Row, row, row your own damn boat, because if you're trying to row somebody else, you'll probably just end up going in circles anyway. And most of us have figured that out. By the way, I jump back. My inventory is taken this way. Anytime I'm disturbed, the problem is Rick. So that's easy enough. I have to go looking what the problem is. Okay. And then the second line of that song is, what is it? Gently down the stream. See, that's where the 10-step promise comes in. We cease fighting anyone or anyone. We quit going upstream and let's go gently down the stream. Okay? And merrily, 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 that's the happy, joyous, and free. Happy, joyous, and free, merrily, kind of put those together maybe. But here's this is the kicker. My life was a nightmare, a frickin' nightmare. But today, life is but a dream. And that dream for me has come and looks like this. I've literally got more friends than I can count. My family, after 5 years of saying that we don't have a son, wants me to hang out with him. And both of them wanted me in their arms when they died. What an honor. What a frickin' honor to be there when they took their last breath. And my mom said, I'm so proud he's in AA. I think she said AAA, AAA. Right? There was another promise. Oh, so yeah, family wants me. And my future really has not looked ever brighter. I'm 70 years old. And you know why it's looked so bright? Because I don't think about age 71 or 72, because I got this promise chip one day at a time. And today I wake up with an attitude of gratitude, three things that I'm grateful for before my feet hit the ground. So I'd really be grateful if I could take this side of the room over here and we get started, and this side over here. It goes like this. Help me out. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Row, row, row your boat. Life is but a dream. Merrily, 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 merrily. I hope you folks, too, can live your dream and recover, be recovered one day at a time, and say this, go God. Thank you.
Can I have my hook back?